it turns out Ruth, she had a private session on November 21st, 2011, a week and a half or so before Ion stopped doing private sessions. And it was an extraordinary session. I didn't know it was going to be until the end. But then Ion made these demands on her. And to me, she was just a quiet woman, shy, and I thought, this person's going to get frightened by what Ion was saying to her. And, of course, she left the session. She never emailed back. She never got her copy. We never heard anything from her for 3 years. So, in a way, I probably forgot about her and said, well, Ion drove her off with his, as you will see when you hear this excerpt from her private session. But miraculously, she showed up, I don't know, 6 months, 8 months, a year ago. So we reconnected. She explained some things. And then she wrote me this week. And it led to perfect timing for her to be presented to us now in light of what Ion has done recently. And so this will be explained as the evening unfolds. I think I'm going to play 10 or 15 minutes of her private session, the ending of it. And then Ion hopefully will show up and we'll get an update. Ruth, say hello to everybody.
Hello.
That's who we're talking about. She does exist. She's sitting here. But I'm going to put you back on mute and we're going to play a section at the end of your very interesting session you had. This is the third anniversary of our session, November 21st, 2011. So here we go. Okay.
I just wanted to talk more about my lovers, and that's a topic that's always been of interest to talk about, but I don't have.
Describe the perfect lover for you, and we'll help you, darling. We're the only ones that can. Now, this is pretty ridiculous. Non-physical is the only thing that can help you, darling, because you're already ahead. See, you experience the orgasm before they achieve it. Does that make sense?
Well, what I wanted to mention is that I had a live-in boyfriend.
Sure.
And I had to leave him because there was too much because I knew a lot of things. And
you knew what was taking place before it went down. And that was troublesome to you, and then he still got you because you were always ready before he was ready. Well, that's for boys. Boys don't know nothing. You know that story. Boys don't know nothing about nothing, okay? But you're even worse because you knew in advance before it was going to go down. All right, so here's what to do. Bob's going to teach. Now, this Bob, if you've never had any fun ever, 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 you've been to have some fun. Because no Amy, as you say, once no Amy gets on dupes, all bets are fucking off. Just
good.
So everybody knows. Alright?
She'll be the perfect storm. You're saying she's the perfect storm will come in.
More than you know. Not only can she put their dick in the dirt, she can show them where they were before their dick went in the dirt. Great fun. Now, darling, we're accessible to you. Now, we're breaking every rule and construct that's been made so far, but choke them if they can't take a fuck. Enough. Bob, you're going to show her how to do the dupes, right?
Right. Soon, yeah.
All right. No, Amy. When you have access to us on dupes in the private messaging, if you have other queries or questions, you may ask.
Okay.
And we're going to keep up with you, which means we may give you the answer simultaneously, which would be way in what you call your future.
Okay.
But we're going to have to do that to keep up with you. Now, as you would know, you're going to have more questions and engagements and directions and questions. On Wednesday afternoons, are you available for live shows?
Yes, if I schedule them.
Okay, third hour this Wednesday. If you'd like, call in. Now, there'll be travail because you're going to be ahead. You got that?
Okay.
And if you have some questions, we won't out you, baby. Well, we can't out you. Because you'll be past, well, whatever we outed would be from past from you. But it's great fun to call in and engage. Just fresh and new and just asking.
Yeah, she's not going to be called Noemi. She's going to be called No Amy. Could even make it K-N-O-W.
You introduce it any way you want to, sugar. We don't care. But ask any crazy thing you want. It makes no never mind to us because we're already on this.
It's already happened for you.
It's already happened for us. And so that's why we say we're the only ones that can help, because we're the only one that can shift the time-space continuum to meet you. Your time-space continuum is outside of everyone else's. Now, there is no time, so it's logical to us, but it could be a bit fretful for you, but it really isn't. What it does for the very first time ever, 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 is sync up your world to you, so you know the who, what, when, where, how, and why of every reality that you've engaged so far.
I only have one really quick question, and that is, there are these geometric patterns that come, and sometimes then they expand to the size of me,
yes.
Or sometimes they come and they merge with me.
No, you merge with them, darling, because it's in your past. So you merge with them. They're not merging with you. You're ahead of them. Darling, just so everybody knows, you just moved to the head of the class. If the shapes that you're looking for, if you'll look up a dodecahedron, what you'll see is those images that you see that you didn't know what the names of them were. But you look up a dodecahedron, and Bob will help you with that. He'll make it his business to help you with that. Now, don't try to convince Bob, because that's a fool's errand. But beyond us, Bob's the only chance you got of making sense of your world as you know it. And the reason is because Bob's not going to judge any portion of your world, nor give an examination thereof. He's really only here to help, okay? It's how Bob gets ice cream. He likes that. Ice cream is his friend. So as you have this imagery, and we'll help too, tonight in your slumber, do you sleep?
I do, and sometimes I think that I don't.
Right. That's why we ask. But don't you think it's odd for us to ask you if you sleep or not?
Yeah, but sometimes I wake up when I'm still asleep, and I don't know if I'm asleep or awake.
That's why we ask the question. Okay, you know the mirror in your bedroom?
Yeah.
When you wake up and you don't know if you're awake or not, or if you're asleep and you're not aware of it or not, always, when that Bob would call this an anomaly. Now, it's not an anomaly for you, sugar, okay? It's not an anomaly for you. See, because you already know it's your past. So it's not a problem. That's old school, okay? But we're going to give you a few little things to help. When this occurs for you, look in your mirror and you'll see us. Every single time, without fail or exception. We got this one, baby. Don't you worry. You don't have to do a thing. We're on this. Don't you fret. We got you. What is the song, Free Falling? Don't worry about that. We got you. We got you. Because we will not have you placate your continuum into what was. We're not going to have it. See? You've come to our world now, darling. We're not going to have it. We like you just like you are. We already love you more than you love you. So we get this. So when you have this occasion or occurrence, you look into your mirror in your bedroom. And what you may find is that you aren't actually in your bedroom sometimes. But that's okay, too. Don't push against it, because you've got to know it's already in a past pluperfect tense of your isness. Never been said like this, Bob. You better not miss a stitch of it. The past pluperfect tense of your isness. Unheard of, darling. This is wonderful. All right. So when you have that experience, you look in your mirror and you'll find us. We'll be there every single time, without fail or exception. Now, that's pretty bold when you're talking about living life in the future, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. We'll help. Don't worry. Don't fret. You can't fuck anything up, darling, because it's already passed by the time you achieve it. Think about that. You're already ahead of it. Already. Do you see?
Okay, I apologize, but I have to go now.
Okay, darling. We love you more than you know, and of course, we'll be glad to help every way we can, and we are available. You're very delicious, and we thank you very, 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 very much. Therefore, we are totally deliciously, happily, and forever, Tom Baker.
Okay, so we can stop there. Hello, Ruth. Thanks for waiting out for this. Good, and Ion is here, so we'll bring Ion in a second. So, as a way of introduction here, you, as we've already heard, the part that we just stopped, you leave and hang up. I don't even get a chance to get any communication with you. And here's Ion making these big demands of you or moving you to the head of the class. And I'm thinking that this is too much for you, and I never hear from you again. So I figure you ran off. I had that thought for 2 years, if I ever thought of you again. And I just thought, oh, that's a lost cause. Ion was too fast on you. Then you showed up. 6 months, 8 months, a year ago, and that was great. And then you showed up again demanding communication, in a sense, this week. And so now we're doing this. Now, Ruth had never reheard the session, so I sent it to her a few days ago. But the important thing is you were already on the drops when you had your private session, correct?
Yes.
And you've been listening for a long time, right?
Yes, I have.
I mean, up to the time of this session in November 2011. And you had incredible effects from the drops, which show the spiritual nature of the drops, way beyond the nutritional aspects or whatever else people get from it, which are important. But you were a great example of whole other levels of experience from the drops. And that was partly why you wanted a private session. Let's have you describe the first, quote, hallucination or whatever manifestation that you were getting from the drops. Let's begin there.
Okay. Well, I went to the DMV to renew my license, and my fingerprints wouldn't register.
Yeah, and, but wait a minute. What about what you were seeing in front of you?
Oh, the geometric pattern spheres?
No, the paradise.
Oh, I had... That's correct.
Wasn't that the beginning? Wasn't that the first?
Yes, that was in the beginning. There was a paradise that followed me wherever I went, and it would just give me a lot of bliss just for me to be in paradise.
So you were walking around, almost like, I think it's a Google Glass, where people can look in their little lens and see something. You had this diorama, this scene, this little hologram around your body that is in front of your vision. It gets in the way of what's on the street if you're walking along, right?
Well, I could see through it. I could see it. It was real, but I could see through it to the street. And I asked everybody, can you see this? And everybody would say no, only I could see it.
And that popped into your experience like within a couple of days of taking the drops.
Yes.
Ion, what is the, I'm calling it diorama, this hologram that she has around her from the drops. What's going on there?
Well, baby Ruth, finally catching up, eh?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to say this, Ion. Ruth, when I was talking to Ion, I told Ion about you calling the other day. And I said, isn't this great news? It took 3 years, but she's showing up, you know, the person who's the new number one. And Ion said, well, it's just us catching up to her, her syncing with us. And I think about how Ion, a couple of weeks ago, if you heard of Ruth, he was talking, but we couldn't hear him. And he said we weren't in the same tempo as Ion. You're someone who's on a different tempo that maybe can keep up with Ion or hear him or something. So that's what I'm thinking of. And also that name, Noemi, was the fake name you gave me. That is not your name. Your name is Ruth. So everybody forget about Noemi or Noemi, whatever that was. You came in quite cautious 3 years ago. So Ion, address the hologram, I guess, that she sees at that point from the drops.
She sees what she thinks she sees, and that's her sighted bias. She cannot convey her sighted bias on others.
You're saying she sees what she wants to see?
No, she sees what she sees, and that creates for her a bias that she's not able to convey. Bob, the difference is you see things, you don't know what you saw, but you with great detail, for hours and hours and hours, can talk about the sighted aspect that you saw. You don't know what you saw, but you can describe it forever. She sees it, but has a harder time describing it.
Well, why is she seeing what she's calling a paradise? Is it another world? What is she seeing?
The bias. It's a bias.
She prefers a beautiful scenario, scenery?
No, it's just the one she sees.
So, Ruth, what you saw, was it always the same delightful scene that made you feel blissful?
Always the same one with all the flowers and the waterfall and the beautiful shades of green.
The little purple peony flowers.
And then I just would feel all this bliss.
Describe bliss. Just describe what you think bliss is.
A complete happiness.
Describe what happiness is. Do you know things that people don't know? And so you're saying happy. That means different things. To a hooker on the street corner, happy is very different than a grandmother holding her grandbaby.
To me, it means no matter what is happening, good or bad, my spirits are elevated to the highest that I can, I guess, tolerate, because I can't say I'm in a process, so I can't say that's the highest there is, but just a really high level of happiness, no matter what is happening around me.
So happy, 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 halt.
Uh-huh.
Good, that's fine. Dr. Dean will giggle about that later.
Do you see purple flowers as Ion describes, Ruth?
Yes.
So this thing, this scene, you still see it?
I do, but not as often anymore. Not as often as at the beginning.
The problem is you're becoming normal. So your shift is becoming, this paradise, as you say, it's become normal. Bob's bored with paradise now. He's ready for a little hell. See how I'm drawing the comparison here? You're so normal to it, it's not even odd. Before, it was like, wow, it took your breath away, a white-knuckle flight. But anymore, anything less than that, it's like, oh, sorry about that. Sorry for your luck.
Yes, that is correct, because now it's just part of my experience when it happens.
So it becomes normal. Here again, Bob could spend the rest of the night describing that perfectly. He wouldn't know what he felt.
And I try to bring it with my intention, and I've not been able to. It just happens spontaneously.
Okay. Hold on. Your biases are too much. You'll overload your sensory perception if you do that much. But we can't go off topic because Bob has us on the chains, as it were. So, Bob?
I'm asking, what did the drops activate in her body chemistry for her to see this little hologram around her?
No, it's not like that. She caught up to it, and her body didn't change. She was just able to see. Okay, let's say it this way, Bob. The radio was always on. She just plugged in the speaker.
So you don't have any chemistry to explain what happens in the body for the drops to activate her to catch up to what she already was around?
For normal people, we'd say that the drops opened the lipid pathway and opened up the function in the brain that bypassed the hypothalamus's direction of the labyrinth of the mind. But that's too fast and too quick and too clever by half. But for her, it was not like that. Typically, we'd say that the lymphatic system opened up those synaptic neurons that allowed her to be able to hear the radio frequency that had been beat was all around her. But for her, it was just a matter of turning the radio on.
And there's no chemistry involved. It's another level of her being.
For her.
Does she have normal body chemistry? Is she made up of chemistry?
No.
No, it's not normal. What you say normal? No.
No, am I made up of body chemistry?
You are. Beautifully.
Yes, she isn't. She isn't, which explains a lot of what she's going to tell us.
That's why when she has pain, it's different. The most excruciating pain, but it would put you out. She can experience that and go, that's a little uncomfortable.
Okay, that would knock me out. Wouldn't knock Carol out. She can take it, but I'm a wimp on that level. So the thing is that that's a beginning, great explanation. So then we would go to the, shortly after taking the drops, you went to the Department of Motor Vehicles in California, and what happened, right? This is shortly after our session with you, right? 3 years ago?
I think it happened before.
Before the session, but you've been on the drops. It's a drops effect, or maybe. So what happened there?
I went to the DMV to renew my license because I, for some reason, it got expired and I didn't pay attention or be aware. I wasn't aware.
You were aware. You knew that there's no way your license could have expired, and yet they were. You questioned it because it wasn't time for them to be out.
And then what happened was that they want to take my fingerprints, and it didn't register. They thought that the equipment was malfunctioning, and they called the technicians, and then they moved me to a different station, and my fingerprints didn't register there either. They were checking out the machines, and then they tried another person, and those person's fingerprints did register. They didn't know what to do, and I really wanted my license. So I was trying everything I could, and I had told me it wasn't the breath, but at that moment, I did a certain breath to make it happen, and then they went ahead and approved my driver's license.
Well, you've jumped ahead. What told you to do the breath?
Myself.
Right, so you had this experience before the session, so you brought the problem to the session, and I told you to do something with your breath. You went back to the Department of Motor Vehicle, did the breath, and it worked. That's what you're saying.
No.
Here.
No. The first time when I was there, I never went back. There was the problem of my fingerprints not showing up, not registering, and I really wanted my license. I didn't want that issue to keep them from issuing me a license. I just thought that it might work if I did a breath a certain way with my intention and using my intention, so I did.
Ryan didn't tell you.
No, I did that on my own.
While you were there in this one traumatic scene?
Yes, and then my license got approved, but Ian says that...
No, come on. You say you're there. It's not working. You then go, oh, I know what. I'll do something with my breath. And you did it,
yes.
And your fingerprints manifested. Right there, solving the problem.
Well, Ian said
it either did or didn't.
Ian said they just used fingerprints.
No, Ian doesn't come in. You haven't talked to Ian yet. You're at the thing. You haven't had a session with Ian.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I thought that my breath
did it.
Did
you solve the problem that day? Let's start with this statement. Did you solve the problem that day?
Yes.
How did you do that?
Well, I thought it was with my breath. I did a special breath with intention.
So you said they're all frustrated. They're testing other people and saying the machine doesn't work, you don't work, and you said, let me try it one more time. Then they did it one more time, and it worked, right? All that same afternoon or morning.
No, they didn't. They never said my fingerprints registered. They never said that. They just said that they were approving my driver's license.
When you did the breath thing, did you put your fingers down on the machine to see if it would work?
Yes, I did.
And they didn't tell you whether it came out or not?
No, they just said that my license was getting approved.
So they approved it, and you don't know if it worked, but it worked. So, Ion, did she exude ink so they saw fingerprints at that point because of her breath?
No.
Why did they give it to her? They just gave up. She's a nice person. They said, screw it.
No, they just used the default, her breath, which we also told her to do.
No, you haven't talked to her yet in the sequence she's telling.
Bob,
she has not had her session with you.
Bob, does it make any difference? There is, doesn't make any difference, Bob. There is no time. You're not going to add time in this instance.
Okay,
no,
well, you told her.
No,
you told her
before
this session.
Face
in our normal little man sequence, you told her before the session what to do.
There's no session. You're still, she just heard the session just now from everyone.
I know. Okay, but she had a session with you, Ion. She had a session. But the point is, don't get carried away. Hey, Ruth, is Ion saying that they somehow communicated to you the breath and you did it and it worked?
That Ion told me?
No, he didn't tell you. Not audibly. He hadn't talked
to
you.
Maybe because of the RNA drops. And it was simply nonsensical.
Ion somehow, we're agreeing that Ion communicated to you somehow that day in the office that fooled those guys to accept your application.
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So, do you want to explain, Ion, what was going on with her fingertips?
In the palm of her hand. That was the first level of change. She started her shifting.
Oh, the RNA drops affect the skin first. You're taking that idea.
The dermis. Not an idea. The dermis.
And so her skin, it wasn't that she had no chemistry to emit, or she had no chemistry to emit.
You're right, but it had to catch up. Her fingerprints changed.
All right, so does that sort of add an explanation to you, Ruth, on that point?
Yes, that makes sense.
Then what's the next story?
You want me to say that I went to the...
Do the fucking sequence!
Okay.
Don't worry, baby Ruth. He does it to us all the time.
I don't remember the sequence.
Okay, I'll tell you. The fucking pictures. Do the photographs. That's the next story I got in my mind. Do the photographs, my friends.
Okay. I become aware that sometimes invisible because sometimes people don't see me. I'm right there and they don't see me.
Okay.
And then my daughter took a picture of me. Okay. And the picture came out, I was transparent.
Good. Baby Ruth, hold on. That's enough words. Digitized imagery. You're out of the loop. That's the whole point. You're not in that loop. You're not in the sequencing. So to put you together in a digitized image would never capture you. You were there. You were just there before the digitized image captured it. RAM, when you erase RAM off your computer chips, you don't really erase it, you move it. Then you have to reclaim it. Later, you can come back to that picture, were you to save it, and you could find the faintest image or outline of you. It's like in a race, you're going so fast that they can't pick you up.
That makes sense.
And it also validates some of your holographic. It seems like a hologram sometimes because you're moving faster than it can be, so it has to be a post-mortal holographic sequence. Now, if you had a holodeck, and the old holodecks when they would create entire worlds on spaceships, the Star Trek thing, we're not going off on a tangent, Bob, just chill out just a second. The holodeck was created, and you'd have an entire world in this room. That sequencing would preempt what reality said was in that room. That's sort of what you did for your world many times. And you still do it, because that's what you do in traffic now. You notice you don't really have much trouble with traffic?
I do notice.
You move faster than it does.
This is how it feels, like I'm floating around and my car's floating around with me.
It is. That's the point. Other people complain tragically with this horrible traffic issue that you don't really seem to have. Now, that's changing a subject, but it goes back to the holodeck motif. Okay, we can't say any more words. We have to bring Bob back.
What do you mean your car floats off the highway up into the sky?
No, it feels like it. I'm on the road, but I feel like I'm levitated. I feel very light, and my car feels like it's levitated, like I'm flying around, not way up in the air. I'm on the road.
But are you waiting in traffic for half an hour? I saw that traffic a month ago. early in the morning. Are you waiting in lineups of traffic?
It has happened to me that I'm stuck in traffic, but I don't feel desperation or road rage or anything like that. I still have the same peace inside. I'm not in a hurry. That's how it feels like.
If there were things you had to get to, you don't even remember them. You're too busy in the moment feeling bliss.
That is true, yeah. And that's one of the reasons that I had told, I don't know if it was you or Ian, that I feel like I don't function anymore in the world because it's very hard to meet schedules. Sometimes.
Yes.
Sometimes it's hard for me to meet schedules.
So, Ian, because she's experiencing reality way ahead of us, a lot of the appointments she has have already happened from the perspective of those that are waiting to have an appointment with her. Is that the way you say it, Ian?
Okay with that.
Is she living like thousands of years ahead of us or a week ahead of us or 8 hours?
No time.
When we engage with you on this show or have a private session with you, are we getting into a condition like she's in naturally? We're experiencing no time with you?
Well, we'd say yes, but not necessarily.
Depending on the person, their minds can be so strong in the labyrinth that they can hold that potential experience in abeyance and then experience normal step-by-step time as they go through their session with Ion.
Well, that's if they are fortuitous enough to have it. She had it and had to wait 3 years to experience it.
I want to ask you later what you thought when you heard it, but let's do the sequence. So you've talked about, you've noticed more and more that you're in the room with people, you can see them, but they can't see you. So you're invisible. And that's explained by the fact that you're living out of time, ahead of our particular time. You've just not synced in. In a way, it's like you're a ghost.
But I try to manifest it or create it at will with my intention, and it doesn't happen. It only happens spontaneously, you know?
Yeah, you can't make yourself, it seems to you, invisible at will. It just happens accidentally in different speeds.
Okay, too many words. Oh, well. Your words aren't adequate. You just don't note them. It's not spontaneous at all. It's very contrived. Do you know contrived?
Yes.
It's not spontaneous. You cannot drive it because you don't know where to drive it. You're going so fast you don't know. You don't need. If you're in the holodeck, you are not really moving, but it seems like you're flying a million miles an hour.
The other thing is that every time I tried to listen to Payday, my computer would freeze on the third hour.
Mm-hmm.
And,
overrunning it.
I thought I was creating it to freeze with my thinking because it was overwhelming because it was hitting home.
Maybe, but not so much. You're just overwhelming your chip body. Couldn't catch your platitudes were overworking your vicissitudes.
That to me means she couldn't take it, not because she was physically in the timeless.
Her machine couldn't take it.
The machine couldn't take how she was imbuing the machine?
No. She's listening to Payday live. 3 hours in, it's all her machine can take before it would overload. And then it would, as she say, to her break.
Nothing to do with her. Or is there something peculiar about her machine?
No, it's peculiar with her interacting with any machine. Didn't matter which machine it would be.
The machine is sort of alive, and it's responding to her emanations.
You mean like the chip body that we drive, yes.
Yeah. Like if there were a meeting of chip bodies in her neighborhood, her chip body would explain to the other neighborhood chip bodies how ridiculous she is. We conk out after 2 hours. We can't even perform because she's so heavy or something.
Let's get her definition of synesthesia.
I don't know the definition of it.
Okay, so Ian, does that help you? She doesn't have a definition.
Mm-mm. It fits, though.
Does she have normal synesthesia anyways, constantly?
Well, some would say it would be on the a little bit schizoid from the reference point, but for her it balances nice.
But what kind of synesthesia is she experiencing? Is she hearing colors and tasting sounds, that kind of synesthesia, or another one involving time?
It's not a time. It's never time. It's a sense. The stimulus. It's a deferred stimulus reaction. A deferred stimulus reaction as it applies to culture, sound, taste, experience. Sparkles, sparklers, like if you lit a firecracker sparkler, she would see it in slow motion. Which
I see, so
more vibrant than regular people's sparkler experience.
So when I'm talking now, to me, she's a little slow on the response.
She's actually slowing it way down because she thinks she's way fast. You fuss
right,
it up
right.
Because sometimes we get going so fast and we don't know what's going on. We just have to say, because the president of the problem is going to be correction. Just listen. All you got to do is listen. You're ridiculous, inappropriate in every way. First, you don't know what you're telling. All right, you learn right here. All of a sudden, we don't watch it. You say, well, I'm going to say, you save a lot of time. You can do the 12-hour, 99,000-hour show in about 2 seconds if you could, if you want to. If they can get every damn word, you wouldn't be worried about all the shit you're not getting because you're not going to get anyway because it doesn't matter how far you're going to go. Because it doesn't matter. Because it doesn't matter because they're going to get what you're going to get. If you got what you got, you got to get what you get, what you're going to get, what you get, what you got. So if you got it, you got it. You need to get more money. That's all I know about. And then we act a little bit, and then you go back into the digital voice. That all comes through very clearly. And you're going, whoa, that's too many words. What the fuck difference does it matter how many words it is? If you don't understand them, it doesn't matter how quick or slow they are. Basically.
Okay, so do you consciously, Ruth, experience that speed? Have you experienced me as that fast, Ruth?
I don't remember, but I was surprised when I heard the session because I really did feel like I was responding on time and fast. I did feel like that, but when I heard the session, I realized that my response was not like I had perceived.
Yes, it's so ridiculously slow when you hear the recording compared to how you thought you were keeping in touch.
That's true.
Do you have something to say to that, Ion?
Question her relegation of truth.
Relegation, we don't know what that means.
Look it up.
Yeah, Ion, you're being wonderful tonight. We can hear you clearly. You're enunciating. You're talking slowly.
You mean we talking right. We talk right.
Yeah, and doing that little example of your speed talking, it made us remember what you could be doing to us, and we're happy that you're not. And you shouldn't be encouraged by Bob's laughing to do it too much. And I'm looking up relegation. To send or consign to an inferior position, place, or condition. Inferior. Uh-oh. Less than.
Okay, so we got that thought there, Ruth. Let's go to your next experience. You then go to the hospital, and before you walk in the hospital, you said you were thinking knew the blood would be changed, and you were aware of that. You said, I don't want them to look at my blood. Is that what you were thinking?
Well, I told my friend, I do not want them to take my blood, my blood sample. And then they weren't able to draw my blood, and they have called all the phlebotomists and the RNs on the floor, and none of them were able to.
You
finally
couldn't stop them attempting to take the blood, but your power made it impossible for them to get any blood out.
That's correct. And then what happened was the doctors decided to release me to go home, and they assigned a person to follow up on my case. They told me, we're assigning somebody to your case. And then that woman would follow me around where I went.
She didn't live with you, but she showed up every day and followed around, took pictures of you for months.
She would show up where I went.
Wherever you were, yeah. You would not at your home, but you'd go do something, she'd show up. You get that, Carol?
Yes.
The hospital assigned someone to spy on her.
Wow, I've never heard of that being done before.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask Ian. Did they realize this person was an anomaly and they wanted to find out what they could make of it by tracking her and knew she was naive enough to shut the phone?
Sure. They'd done some scopes and some things around, and all of a sudden nothing picked up. I mean, my God, the people, this chick don't have fingerprints as it is. So, yeah.
So they couldn't get blood or so. What did they actually, did they think she was an alien? What were some of the concepts they thought?
They probably called up the DMV. Is that right, Ion?
Probably, but not quite so much. But, yeah, they thought she was a turnip because they couldn't get blood out of a turnip.
Ruth is so, quote, out of it. She goes around and accepts this. Well, she's not interfering with your home. So you're living your life, but this photographer shows up, and you think there's some medical practicality being done on you, right?
Well, that's what they told me.
You're inclined to believe what you're told.
It's coming from the hospital. Why else would a hospital say
I just made a big insulting statement, Ruth.
Utterly ridiculous that could be.
You actually accepted. Now, we've got here Greenbrier waiting to perform. She would never tolerate anybody even saying that to her. But you tolerated and accepted that. Oh, yeah, we're going to follow her out and show up wherever you go, taking pictures of you. You accepted that, right?
Well, I didn't think there was anything I could do because, this woman was just showing up and, you know, what am I supposed to do? I couldn't say I was being stalked because then I would have to prove it.
Ruth, what did they tell you she was going to do? Did they think you were going to keel over and she was going to save your life? I mean, what possible purpose could she serve?
The way I understood it, since it's coming from the hospital, I understood that she was following up on my medical case. And
but how could she do that just by observing you?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that's how I understood it. But it didn't make sense to me, really. But I felt that there was really nothing that I could do. So I just went ahead and did whatever I do. It didn't stop me from doing whatever I wanted to go do or had to do.
Very strange.
And for her, actually kind of normal.
What's normal, Ion? Being having your privacy invaded or not caring?
Going with it.
Going with it. She's
she
very
cared.
Accepting.
She cared. They just went and she didn't think there was anything she could do.
Where does that story lead? Ruth, what happens with that story? Does she stop doing it after a while?
Well, the hospital told me the follow-up was over.
And they had no advice, no improvements to give you based on the follow-up?
No.
They just let you go. You're healthy. You're okay. Goodbye.
Yes.
Ruth, do you mind telling us what were they investigating in the first place when you went to the hospital?
I just wasn't feeling well. It was a general feeling of not feeling well, and it had lasted too long, and it wouldn't go away. And I went to my doctor's office, and he said, go to the ER. Well, the staff told me, because they didn't have any appointments.
And were you in the middle of taking RNA drops at that time?
Yes. Yes.
Did you think maybe it's just some RNA drop shift that you were going through? Or, like you said, it was just lasting too long.
I thought it could be possible, kind of like the healing crisis.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just wanted to make sure. And also my daughters were not going to be comfortable until I went in. So that influenced me to go in also.
Now, Ruth, this is 3 years ago. It's a few months after that you had the session, right? It's going on a little after the time of the session 3 years ago, correct?
Yes.
How come you didn't call us? Oh, yeah, that gets to the next thing, Carol. They busted her internet connection. Okay, so you couldn't call us, right? Or could you use a phone?
Well, I did because I didn't want to come out on the radio. I just wanted another private session with Ion. But Ion
had stopped. That's right. Ion had stopped. Correct. Yes, right.
I couldn't have another private session, but then Ion came back, and I wanted another private session with Ion, but I was told that I can't
I told you no fucking way. Like, nobody gets a private session under the new regime, right? That's what I told
you.
Right.
If I want to talk to Ian, I have to call in to the radio. So then that's, I go, well, I guess that's what I have to do.
Right. And you're thinking that, you know, a few months ago. And that's why you emailed me. You said, I must tell you my story before I do this on the radio. That's why you were talking to me this week.
Yes.
I
wanted
the reaction
to Ian, but this was the only way.
And so you said, Bob, let me talk to you privately about this first, which was sensible, and that was good. So tell them about Rate It. I mean, the day of your private session, and the reason the other day, she didn't tell her daughters what she was doing. She just said, I got an hour consult. And they were shopping, important last-minute shopping, around Thanksgiving. So when the hour's up, they come over to her car. She's doing the session in the parking lot, and she won't get out. And her session goes to an hour and 37 minutes, so she goes another almost 40 minutes, and the daughters are standing there very impatient, signaling her to stop talking to whoever she's talking to. And I hear the door clunk at the end, and they opened her and kind of pulled her out. So that's why she's saying, I got to go. I'm projecting at the time that she's worried. She thinks we're nuts, and we're a cult. We're going to hijack her. That's what I projected into that. But you go home, and is your computer broken right away? I'm talking about the collapse of your email ability.
That's when I tried to get the session? When you
yes, I sent it to you. I sent it to you and a day or two later, and you tried to do it, and you just couldn't connect with your own.
Right. The email wouldn't open, so I was never able to hear it again until now.
How did you find out that you were part of a bunch of people following a big class action suit in San Francisco area? I think it was like $500 billion, a huge thing. James used to talk about it. You found out that everybody tracking that, the FBI broke their emails.
Yes, because they had, I clicked to open my email, and there was the seals of the FBI, the NSA, and the CIA, and it
right.
had a message, and the message said, this email has been confiscated for an investigation.
Ion, this is what the hospital handed the investigation of Ruth over to the CIA. Is that what's going on here?
Works.
Well, were a whole group of people involved in following the transaction of the class action suit, did they all have their emails get that signal that it's been confiscated? Did that happen to a lot of people?
Several, yes.
Why was she done?
Well, they couldn't figure her out.
So there was another purpose. She takes the idea that, oh, I'm part of tracking the suit, and so they're doing it for that reason. But they had a particular reason they were interested in her, correct?
Relatively speaking, yes.
I mean, there's a bit of indifference. They're not interested in her?
We have to see.
And that's where we haven't worked out that timeline, I guess. So how long did you have broken email, Ruth?
Well, when that happened, I just created a new email account. The old one.
Yeah, but then you should have emailed me and said, hey, send me my thing again, my session.
That's correct. I should have done that, but at that time I was contacting Matthew. Matthew
yeah.
was who I used to call.
You contacted Matthew, and what happened? Why didn't you get your recording?
I told him that I wasn't able to get my recording, and he told me that... That is because I told him there's a lawsuit because I looked it up, and he said there is a lawsuit. But never did he refer me to contact you.
Well, it's very easy. You just call us up. But you thought you had to go through Matthew.
Yes.
Maybe that's true back then. I don't know. Well, you could have called in on the radio show.
But I didn't want to be on the radio. I didn't want to be...
Right. So get all these, like, shyness issues. You're shy, you're polite, and all these things that stopped it. Okay, so then...
She dislikes being yelled at and sworn at.
Oh, no, she likes that. People who are shy love to be fucking yelled up. That's why they're quiet.
Yelled up.
Yeah, yelled up. Worked up, you know. No, there's perverse responses here. Anyway, it's none of our business. She's not worried about this. She's still here. So you never got in touch with us. What more happened over the last 2 years till you called me just under a year ago?
I looked at myself in the mirror, and I don't know if you would call it a shape-shifting or something, but my face became very wrinkled and old. But I was watching the mirror, and then it became really, really young, and then it became how I have it now again. And I thought I was imagining, but I know it was real. And then my eyes changed color. My eyes are brown, and they changed to green, and then they changed back to brown. But again, I didn't ask for it with my intention.
You weren't on medication. You weren't hallucinating.
No medication, no drugs, no alcohol, no smoking, nothing.
We're sorry.
I have never used drugs or smoked. I only was drunk one time in my whole life.
And you're still on that drunk. You're still on that bender. That's the secret here. But anyways, that's a joke. But Ion, so now we come into the mystery landscape, and you can explain, hopefully, what she was experiencing in that visual shape-shifting.
We already did. When the speed it up, fast it down, slow it up, fast it down, over, under, holodeck, spinning, fast, that's it.
So she can see her whole life real fast, and she can go back. She could stop at the youthful phase.
In the mirror, if she wants to. In the mirror, Bob. In the mirror, it's all history anyway, isn't it?
That only happened once, right?
Yes, it only happened once.
No.
Oh, no, Ruth, no.
No.
Or that I was aware of anyway.
You fuss about your eyes. You can't get your eye stuff on the grease you put around your eyes to make it all this or that. You notice that it all of a sudden all the time, your eyes change color all the time. You think the makeup's not even, and your eyes have changed.
Do you have trouble putting your makeup, being happy with the process of putting on makeup around your eyes?
She just doesn't. She just doesn't, because it doesn't work.
I do have problems. That's why I went and I got some permanent makeup.
You see, she's trying to make it permanent because it could never come out right. And in that, still not right sometimes.
How do you do permanent makeup? That survives a shower?
It's tattoos.
Yes.
You have the ink put under your dermis.
Is that what you did, Ruth?
Permanent eyeliner.
Yes.
Pretty fucking pervert. My God, Carol, what these people
marked
do with their bodies is
mark
shocking.
What they mark them marked up. Yeah, marked up. Can you believe it?
Get a permanent tattoo put around the eyeballs. Jeez. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Okay, next, next point. Is there another example of your life?
Careful to only share the soft, easy things with Bob, isn't it? Don't go into the
first. Yes, my mind can't take it, Ruth.
Baby Ruth, we're giving some of the good stuff later if you want to.
Is there something you're not telling us, Ruth?
She's afraid now. You've made her.
Well,
she'll be no Emmy.
Shut up,
She'll be no Emmy by the time the end goes up to the end. I'm sorry, this is no Emmy. I'm not Baby
Ruth. Your name is Amy, and it's no Amy. Okay, that makes sense. No Amy. Go ahead, Ruth. What were you going to say?
I haven't had a chance to mention about the geometrical patterns.
Yes, the figures that go into that. Describe that to Ion.
So eyes wide open, and there is a geometrical pattern that I think it looks like diamond.
The dodecahedron.
When it speeds, it's like a kaleidoscope. And sometimes it's clear. It is? Okay.
Yeah.
And then it grew, expanded, and until it became my size. And it came closer and closer. I was watching it. And then it goes inside.
It was watching you.
It was inside me, and I was inside it.
Basically, yeah. Welcome.
That actually happened about 3 times.
No, darling. It happens most nights.
Okay.
Is that you, Ion, as a dodecahedron entering them? She has special relations with you.
Well, you don't get number one with us without some type of interaction, Bob, but it's an inside-out, outside-in. So what you
is it a chicken or an egg? We don't know, but it applies because
it's tactility.
Contact.
Yeah, tactile.
Well, it's the and if you can apply synesthesia and diades and tactility, you'd have no
wow. That must be in my chart. I've got to have those three things in there. That's really good.
Well, you'll have to does ask Wyndham Lewis.
Not Joyce. Joyce tried to show it in Finney's Wake.
Oh, but Joyce is still trying to show it, and he hasn't been able to yet. So.
And Lewis understands it.
And Lewis could. He had him for dinner.
Lewis had Joyce for dinner?
And he ate him up.
He ate Joyce for dinner. Okay, Karen, what do you think of that? Eh? Hendiades, synesthesia.
Yeah.
And tactility all at once. That's anamorphosis. That's flipping reversible Trump allele. I mean, Ion simplifies it to Trump allele. Says that term a lot now.
And then we do into the anthropomorphic ante after a minute.
So, Ion, when you were speaking several weeks ago when Eliza and Roxanne, you weren't answering their questions, apparently. It turned out you were because you're another tempo. Were you preparing us for Ruth showing up?
No, that's the answer just then. But what we're trying to say is happy, happy halt. Happy, happy halt becomes the shift where you have to stop happy long enough for other people to catch up to it. Dr. Dean innately is pure. You're not. She gets things and sort of almost feels things sometimes, but she can push that away and make it be more normal because it's like, okay, this is the procedure. We must do the procedure. Compounding 101. We must do the coal tar compounding, which we don't like, but we have to do that. That's the doing things that you push past the unpleasantries to get that out of predicated outcome that's pleasurable. Okay? So, she can do that. You don't, Bob. So,
well, that's what we meant back in 1970 when awareness, cousin awareness, said she was in Akasha and I wasn't. Same sentiment, right?
In the halls of Amenti.
Stay with us, Root. We're just shape-shifting, moving about. Ion's talking. He must inform Carolyn and Bob what's happening on the side before we come back to you.
It has to affect us. We've got Ruth figured out. We're just trying to help you, Bob.
I am the problem here, Ruth. I am holding up humanity's breakthroughs in so many levels for different reasons. We won't need to go into that, but I'm sure I'm justified in doing this.
Papa justify. Yes.
Papa justify. Okay, so here's Ruth. Everybody's up to speed now. We have this interesting RNA. What do the drops do for her? Oh, the drops are diminishing it, right, Ion?
Doesn't work.
Okay, Carol, you try to come up with something.
The drops are making what is real manifest.
Manifest for reality or not?
For her reality, to be able to accept it. I mean, look how calm and cool and collected Ruth is. She's living in her world very happily.
And she's even willing to go public. Mm. So what is it you would like to know now, Ruth?
No, I'm fine with what has been mentioned and with everything that has been said. I'm fine with it.
But, Ruth, you should say, are there factors I'm not considering about the effects of the drops and my being right now? Like, you're satisfied with Ion's statement.
They are okay. She's becoming. And when she catches up, it applies. She needs the headlights to work 200 feet at a time, Bob. We can do the whole trip. Okay, but she doesn't need that. She only wants to see 200 feet ahead of her. And that's what she's asking for. And we're working on that. We're trying to line it up so it won't be quite such a white-knuckle flight. But you don't need to illuminate the entire world to know that the sun will probably come up tomorrow.
Ion, when Ruth was talking about her eyes turning green, was that indicative of the ascension process? Or symbolic?
Okay. We'll go with symbolic. But otherwise, it becomes a Potter-ish retrospect. See, we don't want you to come back and have a remix of ascending folks. We want it to be pure. So it's a bit glib to add this inference
We'd say it's in the palm of your hand now, baby. It's a yes, it's a no, it's a maybe. You set that predicate. We're not into predication. That's what you all do. We are literal. So to dance with it that way, it doesn't quite work. We can answer the question. We can say sure, but it wouldn't hold. And if it doesn't work every single time without fail or exception, then it kind of doesn't matter at all. So it is an aspect of an ascending meat sack, but not the cause.
So in other words, not everybody's going to experience this particular instance.
Most people won't, see, because she's already in a shifting position. You know, it's like Brian will experience things different because he's just weird.
Because he's weird? Is that what you said?
Oh, yeah. Brian, yeah. We just adore him. He's weird.
And then when she was describing the fact that she wasn't feeling well and she went to the ER.
It's not well. It's different. You notice she's very clever. She's like, we already spoke up into that, like a bit of malaise. It's that I don't fit where everything else is. You've experienced that yourself. I don't fit the way everyone else does, so therefore I'm not wrong. I'm just different. But if you segregate yourself so completely, you become less than by default. I don't feel like everyone else, so therefore it must be bad.
But I didn't go to the doctor.
We understand that, darling, but you can screw a Ouija board better than anybody we know. So the magic of that is it's from your asking place. See, they don't know. See, you'd never ask anyone but Dr. Carolyn Dean. But if you didn't have access to Dr. Carolyn Dean, you just got to do what you do. You just want validation sometimes. You just want vindication, not validation. Just vindication. I don't feel perfect, and here's why. Okay.
If she had been grounding, would that have helped her?
It would have, and we're fixing to change things just a little bit. Once we get the exact boron right, the level of boron correct, it's going to help that. But it's just now coming on time because you just now got enough ascending folks for it to necessarily matter, and we didn't want to blow your doors off with too much boron to start with. It's a step, step. But then we promised thoroughly to go over that this evening, so you certainly will enjoy that.
I'd just like to ask about Jameis Winston. I love Jameis Winston. Can you describe sort of what sets him apart, what makes him different from all of the other quarterbacks? He's magical. What is it about him specifically that makes him that way?
It's not new. It's been old. See, if it weren't for Florida State made him. He didn't make Florida State.
Really?
Really, yes.
So if he were playing for another team,
if he were playing for Auburn, if he was playing for Auburn, no, you wouldn't know his name.
Will he be drafted this next round?
Would you like him to be?
No.
Then no.
Not yet.
Any football player does well in Florida State? What is
no,
it
going now? This is a Seminole blessing.
Seminole, oh yeah, the Indians. The original people.
He was chosen.
Did you say he was chosen or they were chosen?
He was chosen above Josh Shaw.
I read an article today that there have been 75 children that were diagnosed with what they're calling a polio-like symptoms.
Enterovirus.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, but not all of them experience the polio-like symptoms. So can you tell us the difference, what's happening here with the folks that aren't versus the ones that are?
Well, we had to be very careful because if we read you the Wikipedia, sometimes you get offended. I guess we could just tell you and then you could look for it on the Wikipedia when we post it. Is that better for you? Does it work for you?
Sure.
It works for us.
Sure.
Works for us.
Hey, Ian, check your phone, Ian. It's slightly grubbly.
How about that? Is that better or worse?
That's better.
Better. Okay.
Better.
Better.
That's a song that Corbin quoted. The Green Rosetta makes the world better. Let me just bring Corbin and confirm that. He was saying the album, at the song at the end of...
Don't interrupt the topic.
No, it's okay. Hey, Corbin, make the world better. That's a song you were trying to record. You remember, right, Corbin?
A little green Rosetta.
Yeah, there it is. Okay, back to you. Back to you, Greenbra.
Back to Ion. Ion was just about to tell us. Continue.
Okay, introviruses, they affect the cells at the cellular level. They are what you call systemic. What systemic means is it takes over the whole genome. A rhinovirus is systemic, that all the body would respond to a fleeting viral introspect. We say introspect because sometimes it's not a full-blown infection. Sometimes it's just you get upside down where your feet smell and your nose runs. See? So then what happens is now you have a new class or a new strain. You've survived. So the introvirus now is starting to affect. You've got the bodies, all of Bob's bodies. We thought we buried them all, but now they're coming back. And in the Thompson Quadrant, believe it or not, that's where all this seems to be trouble. It always ends up troublesome in the William Irwin Thompson Quadrant, always. But sideways, the body is starting to draw to these new introvirus. Ebola is an introvirus, and except for the blood that gives us strength from day to day to day, it will never lose its power, okay? There is a quiz later, so don't worry. There is, still is. Then what happens is, that's just a tiny little one. And then you have another one, and another one, and another one. And then the children, the little ones, and other ones will start to fall plague to this new one, new one. And it'll be in the class of an intro called introviral infection. And they're going to try to make it systemic, which it already is. And they're going to make it a CDC thing, which it is most certainly not. And then the relegated infectious disease speciality, the Chef Boyardee for the introvirus of the day, is going to come along. And you got a czar for this now, so you might as well, you know, it's very important now. We've made a czar over it. So then what happens is it just becomes more and more and more and more and more and more and more. So, until you change the way the juice inside the cells embraces academia of what they say the newest palsy is, the humans are certainly subject to be felled by those outcomes.
Was this virus created with this intention?
We resemble that remark.
Why?
Because we created it.
Created it to create the outcome that's happening right now.
The outcome that's happening right now isn't happening right now. The outcome is you will come... No, easy. Your condition, your world conditions are creating a mass that says you must come back to God, back into your own place of power, or you have to leave this place. And it's like last call to bar. Honey, you don't got to go home, but you can't stay here. That's the point. The new heaven and a new earth. And that's what you're creating. And so blame it on the rain, blame on anything you want to blame it on. Blame us. It doesn't make any difference. Do what you do. It really won't make any difference in about 1 second because you're either going to embrace it or not. And if you do, good. Then let's continue on. If not, go back to zero because it'll be over for you soon. That's all.
But that's really what I'm leading up to. I mean, these are children.
And?
Well, some children, like mine... She just readily embraces her power. She doesn't have any problems with it.
Right.
So the children that contract these the children that contract these particular viruses, is it that they have... Do you see what my question is? Is it that they
No. Sometimes it's a choice. Sometimes it's not that the autistic children are going to be free no matter what, no matter about what size. It's not even about that. It's not like that. This is not, don't make it, it's not personal. It's that this is the conditional response that you created for yourself. Some people can make money, some people, money makes them. You see, you got to go with this. You can't make it be about any one particular dynamic, because if you do, it's going to be too clever about half, always.
But you said it was a choice. Before you said everything else, you started to say it was a choice.
It is a choice. You come into your place of power or not. And we don't care if you're a million years old or days old or a minute old or not born yet or just some little zygote running around somewhere. It's fine because it's no time. You're saying
the children are choosing, though, right? The children are choosing in this very moment.
Just like the lactic acid in the muscle is choosing.
And in order for them to choose, they have to know. They have to have some sort of learned information.
No, they don't. Who said that?
The product of the environment.
I beg your pardon. When your new ones are born, somebody smacks them on the butt. They don't even do that anymore. But they have to inhale for the first time. Do they have to? If they don't know that, if they didn't get the memo, that they just don't make it. Oh, yes, those are the molar pregnancies, those that aren't smart enough to know they're supposed to inhale or cry or clear or start this thing called living or abdicate their soul, their stenographer, as it were. So, yeah, don't make it all that. You could, and you're smart enough, you could argue the case and probably win the conversation, but it'd all be for naught. The point is they're exposing. And the exposing, if you're fixing to have cold weather, you're fixing to have some cold weather. So when you step out your nook out the door, you're going to experience the contrast of nice and warm and toasty and frigid Arctic polar blast. Okay? That's the conditioning. And you have to know what cold is to know that's inappropriate. Or you could go outside and freeze your ass to death and not know it. Well, it has to be contrived. It has to be learned. They have to have knowledge of information for a little kid to choose that. No, they don't. If they get outside and they don't have their mittens on, they'll freeze. That's easy.
So what you're saying is they come in born with it. Either they have it and they're going to ascend, or they don't have it and they won't. And that is the choice that you're speaking of, right?
We're not. Yes, but we're not saying it that way. We're not speaking at it a William Shakespeare or a primitive Baptist fatalism. We are not saying it from that perspective. And we understand where you can go with that because you're one of the few versed well enough that could have an accurate conversation regarding it. But it's not that taboo. It's more of the Lady Gaga's version that you're born this way.
I'm trying to figure out what the difference is between what you just said the Lady Gaga way and what I just said.
Well, what you just said, you're trying to say that this is a position that much travail would ensue, and our way is it's not such a big thing.
I'm going to have to ponder that and get back to you.
Well, that's the reason we didn't want you getting lost in it, because you had already decided how this shit was going to go, and we were like,
I got an idea, Greenbrier, when Ian tells us on the May 19th, 2010, 14th tailgate, when you look at a baby, you should imagine there's like a million other babies talking to the baby. So from Ian's perspective, if one baby dies and there's still the millions, it's no big deal when one baby dies because there are millions other associated with it. So that's just an image that came to me from that session.
Okay. How I interpreted what he just said is when a baby is born, there is some sort of fate or destiny of this one's going to ascend and this one's not. Either you have it or you don't.
I agree with you that doesn't seem to be any difference in what he said in relation to you. There was this fatalism, and then he said, when you're born, it's determined by how you're born or something. That sounded like a fatalistic thing, too. I agree with your looking for a distinction.
But maybe what he's trying to say is there are exceptions to that rule.
All rules,
mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And what I remember about Lady Gaga is her becoming famous is the fact that she was sort of famous by accident. And so when... I'm fixing to correct it.
No, that's the way it was. That's what he used to say. You know, somebody released a video without her knowing, and then she fired the guy who did, but the video made her famous. Yeah, that on that level, it was an accident. Once we say that, this is the way it works with Green by way with Ryan. Once we say that, you'll shift it. I think he got that from me. I think he learned how to communicate that way through watching me. I'm not sure, or unless I was imitating Ian all my life.
No, I understand what he's saying because I understand all of this. There are no accidents. And so she was vibrating a famous vibration at that point in time, and that's what ultimately does it. That's why people hit the lottery. That's why people get what they want when they want it. It's all about the vibration that she was giving off. So in that sense, it was no accident to her energy. But
Ion, do you agree with Greenbrow's words there last minute?
Yeah, don't be a drag. Just be a queen.
That's
okay,
why
get
he's
back.
It wasn't an accident.
No, these babies are being born, and those are going to die. It's already predetermined. And those that don't die, it wasn't predetermined for them.
And there are exceptions. There
yes.
are the Lady Gagas of the world.
There's nothing much to be said. You couldn't say all the factors. If you constantly kept all the factors in your mind, you wouldn't have to say anything. But we're doing this for art or theater or painting or music. So we will continue to talk and pretend we don't know, right, Greenbrow?
That's right.
So that particular incident, how many babies died? The one you started off this topic with?
Actually, they didn't die. That's the kicker. They just came down with the polio-like symptoms, which, from what I read, it sounds like it's affecting the spinal cord and the brain like MS does, where there's lesions all over the spinal cord and the brain, which prohibits the MS patients from eventually walking.
EVD-68. E as in E. V as in V, D
E-B.
As in damn, 68. Edward Victor Dumbass.
Class of 68, Ion?
Yes.
Born in 68.
Lord, suffering cats.
Enterovirus D68. They're calling it a non-polio enterovirus. It's like a non-Bob virus.
Yeah, EV. Dumbass, D68.
So you've got about 80 to 100 kids that are just paralyzed. It's so cool.
But they're
paralyzed.
Not dead. They just can't walk.
Yeah, it's okay. A lot of folks that can walk don't walk, so it's okay.
Is this like MS in that medical marijuana can help heal the lesions in the brain and the spinal cord? Clear them up?
Ascension will clear them up, darling. We're getting weary with this. Every other thing you puff and smoke.
Yeah. Mediumship. We're getting sick of it. It's only we're the answer, and that's it, okay? Variation.
Legalize it illegally. Run it up. Kill the people.
Run it up.
Run it up.
It will work.
Do all those things. Because here's the thing. If you say yes, it's okay, and everybody does it, and everybody can do it, and then once somebody does it, then you're doomed. Either way, one way or the other, when that has to be something else outside that it becomes doomed. Even with your RNA drops, if you got to have your drops, if you can't get your drops and you're dead, then you're dead. See? So if you don't make it be about that, then let it flow and then it becomes a non sequitur. As long as it's a non sequitur, toke it up, honey, and I'm sure if you feel better, do it again. If you don't, then don't. But don't make it be that you must have the greased up hemp oil dripping to palatable or something.
Well, but it's working for the MS patients. It's working for the MS patients, so I figure I'd
only because it takes them out of their mind.
And wouldn't this be true in this enterovirus instance also?
If you want it to be, sure. But, hey, Tena Ativan works real good, too.
What Ion is saying is don't even give it attention in the first place. When you look at the CDC, look up enterovirus D68, they say it's one of more than 100 non-polio enteroviruses. So what they're going to line up is 100 new vaccines, scare everybody that, look, all there's all these viruses coming down the pipe. Everyone's going to get all frightened, and they just keep falling by the wayside with all these scary viruses, which we...
Otherwise, you'd have never lived through the avian flu. Otherwise,
yeah, that was a non-issue.
Well, only because
they're
it got
all.
Hit in the butt.
Only because what?
It got nipped in the bud.
So, Dr. Dean, you're saying don't try to find a solution for anything. These hemp guys are in around trying to find a solution for a world that's not broken, even though people are getting paralyzed.
Yeah, that's definitely the Ion message.
But, you know, if you met a mother who had a paralyzed baby, you wouldn't say, don't fix it. You just give them the drops, say, this will do it.
Oh, no.
That, eh? We got the solution. If you need, if you insist on having a solution to the made-up problem, we got it.
But
you really believe that, Greenbrow?
If you had a mother who had a baby who believed in her heart that whatever the substance was would help her baby, there ain't enough angels in heaven or devils in hell to stop that child from getting it. Period. That mama going to raise that head up and fuck them. She's going to give that baby whatever she thinks it's supposed to have. Legal, illegal, outlawed, in, lawed, overlawed, in, lawed. It doesn't make Jude law. It don't make any difference how it goes. They're going to see to that, you see. They're going to provide that. It's going to happen, whether regardless. You cannot use this position as a platform to legislate your morality of these things. Dopes. Whatever.
I kind of think that if they weren't supposed to have it, they wouldn't get it in the first place.
Okay.
You wouldn't want to use that word, supposed to have it. There's no supposed to, because there's no law to
determine.
There's
no accident.
No, there is. There's nothing but accident. Both ideas are true.
Okay.
No. Just
if you
says Greenbrow. No. Made yourself sound like an idiot and go no. You never catch me doing that, Greenbrow. Go no.
If you say it, we embrace it and we understand the perspective in which you're laying it out, and we make space for that. But if we say that, it becomes a moniker or the standard by which all men are judged. You see that's what Bob's trying to say. What you're saying is not inappropriate or out of bounds. It just doesn't work every single time. And so if it doesn't work every single time, then it doesn't work at all. But it does apply sometimes. See, the fate of fatalism is because you're not in a circle. You're on, where were you when lightning struck the flying genie? The reason this has become so easy to say this is fate is because it's the tilt-a-whirl that you keep going around on. The phonograph goes around and around and around. The wheels on the bus go round and round, round and round, round and round. Because the wheels on the bus go round and round, you can say it's fate. And we say, yes, the wheels go round and round, but that's not necessarily fate. However, fatalistically prescribed.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we're saying. You're not inappropriate. It's okay, but it doesn't work every time. What if the bus goes backward? Then the wheels on the bus go backward around. Uh-oh. Now it's round. Freddie Mercury.
So what I was getting at, it's the vibration, you know, the tilt-a-whirl and the round-around and the backwards.
Describe vibration.
I'll give you an example. When my lottery numbers hit, right before point in time, I feel really, really good. I feel like a winner. I feel like I could accomplish or do anything, but I have to really work at getting my vibration higher. I don't know any other word to describe it, really. Your energy,
well,
I guess.
That's not a good word. None of those are right. So that's the reason we asked you, because it's beautiful words, but it couldn't be further from the case. Okay, it's not even a correction. It's a simple, easy, we asked for the definition, you gave an example. It's that you have a layer or a type of vibration that's high or low, up or down, over or under. So now your predicated outcomes are based upon winning the lottery, are based upon what the rabbit can do to the stump. And there's the misnomer that we are questioning. Because it's like, whoa. No, it's normally the other way. It's normally in the what you call the lower vibration. Remember the story with the man who sells his watch to buy the combs for his wife and the wife who sells her hair to buy a fob for the watch? It normally goes, haven't you ever heard the genie giving a grant the wishes and you ask for $1 million and you get a yard full of deer?
I saw that, yes.
Okay. Well, that's normally how it works. It lines up that way. When you don't want it, that's how it works up, because that's the thing. Oh, well, I can stand anything except that. Well, then get ready for that, you see. Or you ask for eternal life, and then they chop your arms and legs off or something ridiculous. That's the norm. That's how it goes. You win the lottery and have a heart attack and die. That's the norm. Look up statistically speaking, that's the outcome more times than not. Well, what are the odds of that? You go, Bill. probability. So if you're going to go at it from that standpoint, that's actually the opposite of what you're saying is more the case. You never get the speeding ticket when you're trying to get one. Go break the law and try to get yourself incarcerated. You just can't do it. It's when you, oh, I'm late, I can't get a ticket today, I'm going to be late, I got to get this, blah, 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 blah. That's when they get you.
But that, you're in a negative pattern. You're in a negative pattern, which is a lower vibration.
We don't see lower as negative any more than we see upper as positive. Sometimes we're positive, y'all are fucked. That's negative. Ion, that's negative. Yes, but it was presented very positively. That's all
the
bias.
Yes, but you also bask in the contrast. So that's the difference.
Good, but see, if you could, lather, rinse, repeat is the simpler way to say this, but we can't say that because that's old. We can't say that anymore because that's old. But it now applies because if you're just the amount gets less and less, the contrast gets less and less and less, and you get the same amount of lather. So if there's something you desire, we'd say if you have tons and tons and tons and tons of money, the last thing you'd want is to win the lottery. It just becomes another bother. And you won't even buy a ticket. Somebody will just give you one. It's like a stocking stuffer. The next thing you know, it's another $300 million. And you go, well, fuck, here we go again, another $300 million. Do you realize this is going to make you have to pay taxes, a higher level of taxes on all the other monies that's already sitting out there? Do you realize how boards of directors are going to have to deal with this shit, that now we're going to have to repatriate the entire damn stock because it's run up to this degree, and now the capital gains
are
going to
deal with
it's crazy. It's ridiculous. Absolutely.
Ridiculous.
You can't even get
it. We got to give it away for free.
Still got to pay more taxes. You have to borrow. You win $500 million on the lottery. You have to borrow money to pay the goddamn tax on the shit. And you're like, well, that's great. That is. Now, darling, we're saying this now. That's the one that wins the lottery.
Yeah,
that's
I totally get what you're saying. I mean, I've done it both ways.
It's easier to line it up that way. It's easier to line up in the way, because now you've taken you out of the conversation. The reason Dr. Dean is the best doctor ever is because empathetically she always puts herself to the edge of it but then removes herself from it. She puts herself up to the edge of it and then removes herself from it. There's not a
the
drug
edge of
she's
what? What is it? What she put on the edge of what?
The answer to the disease or the malady or the question or the medical deference.
You mean she doesn't say the answer? She puts herself up to the answer and then steps back?
No. She would test out everything. She could take it and it would have no effect. She would know where it is, how it affects you. She'd take you right up to the edge of the feeling place of it, but then would know. But then that's why she's good at what she does. She
embraces. Yeah, you're trying to get this, Carol? You somehow take people up to the edge of their disease.
No, not what we said at all. We said Dr. Dean goes to the edge of it herself. If she can give herself a dose of that disease, she'd like that better, because then she'd know exactly how much to address to correct it or make reparation.
You do that, Carol? Adopts the disease? You take it on?
That's not what he's saying.
No, I ask enough questions and get enough information about it to know exactly what they think they've got, and then tell them they're wrong.
His words were that you take yourself right up to the disease.
Right up to it with the questions.
By just getting the information.
Right.
She can feel it.
And then she cuts herself off from the outside.
She knows every detail regarding it, or she won't answer until she does.
Oh, you mean if you talk it up through your knowledge, you will get the disease. So she talks it up with the patient, starts to create it in herself, figures out what it is just before she's going to get it.
And then gets rid of it.
Yeah, you don't know it completely, because then you would talk yourself into it.
She clears.
Just before it gets to her.
Okay.
Now, there's nothing else to compare that to unless you bring me in. What do I do?
You can't hear our garbled words.
So I don't get the disease.
You never get it.
I don't have anything to say about it. I have no clue about it.
You don't know there's a disease. You don't even know it.
That's what I like to hear. There's one other person on the planet who does that with me. If I don't know about it, I won't get it. We know who does that.
Dude.